Welcome to the August 16th virtual service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service was led by our minister, Reverend Pam Phillips, and we also heard from members Reverend Jamie McReynolds and Wayne New. The theme of the service was the June 2020 Unitarian Universalist Association General Assembly, which Rev Pam, Rev Jamie, and Wayne attended virtually. This podcast is publicly accessible, so the joys and concerns that were announced are not included because of privacy concerns. And most of the music is not included because of copyright considerations. These are all included in the video. If you wish to watch the video and do not get the Sunday UUC announcements, contact the UUC administrator for the link.
Good morning and welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the New River Valley, where we share a mission to inspire, create, and transform. I'm Reverend Pam Phillips, and I am happy to be joined this morning by Wayne New, who is president of the executive board here at UUC, and my life partner, Reverend Jamie McReynolds, both of whom acted as delegates at this year's national meeting of our General Assembly. If you are with us for the first time, we are glad that you have found us. You'll find a link in the chat for a virtual visitor's card. If you fill it out, then we'll be able to keep in touch with you and let you know what's going on. We invite you to stay after the service for our virtual coffee hour. We'll go to breakout rooms for a chance to meet in smaller groups for conversation. There are also many opportunities to meet virtually and some on the grounds of the UUC throughout the week. Look at the calendar on our website for times and Zoom links. I want to thank all of the volunteers who make all of these activities possible. Oops. If you have a joy or a sorrow that you'd like read aloud today, please go ahead and fill that out. There'll be a link in the chat for that as well. I also want to lift up a couple of announcements. First of all, participate in the auction. I won something the other day. I went online and found something that I want to give as a gift, so I don't want to say out loud what it is. But you'll find all kinds of really cool stuff there. There are delicious sounding desserts and dishes. There are decorative items, books, and there are practical items. And there's even a king-sized mattress. One of my favorite descriptions that I read yesterday was for a cat harness, only used once. I bet there is a story behind that. So go onto the website and find the auction link. And as you go through the different items in the catalog, I think you'll get a sense of some of the people who are members of our congregation. We have such a diverse group of folks. And you might also get some ideas of some offerings that you can make for the auction. Thanks again for the auction committee for doing this all online this year. The other thing I want to lift up is the strategic planning survey. We've had around 76 people already fill it out, and I think we've had 3 people who've already won prizes. So take a few moments, do some thinking about the congregation, and share your thoughts with the strategic planning committee, and you might win a prize. Now I invite you, if you have a chalice of your own or a candle at home, to light it now as I light our chalice here, and we say the words together. We'll do it virtually. We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service. Going to ask Jamie to read our opening words today.
Today's opening words are written by the Reverend Dr. Jane E. Malden. For our community gathered here, for the spirit that called us together and drew us to this place, we give thanks this day. for the moments we have shared with others, for times when we have reached out across barriers of distance and fear, for times when others have reached out to us, for moments when we have discovered another along our path, we give thanks this day. For this community of celebration and growth, introspection and solitude, and for these moments, that peace which passes all understanding, we give thanks this day. For our gathering together out of distant places, for our weaving together out of many separate selves, this hour of celebration and worship, we give thanks this day.
Now I invite Wayne to lead us in our congregational covenant.
We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness, and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement, to inspire, create, and transform, and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions.
And now, I invite us to consider our offering. Giving is a reminder that we are part of the interdependent web of all life, and that we are called to do our part to tend our relationships within that web. Each week, UUC donates half of the offering to a local charity or UU-affiliated organization. This week, we invite all who are able to donate to the Blacksburg Interfaith Food Pantry. Every year in October, we have a program called It's Scary to Be Hungry, where our children do a collection of food for the Interfaith Food Pantry. And we won't be able to do that this year in the same way as in the past. So each month we'll be collecting for the food pantry because we know so many of our neighbors are in need. You can donate online, and you should be able to find the link in the chat. You can also use your smartphone. You can smartphone to either text FUND to the number 844-909-2617, or if you have the Give Plus app on your smartphone. We will gratefully accept all of your offerings now and also after the service. Ah, joys and sorrows. They make up our lives individually and collectively. And as I think of the joys and sorrows shared today, as well as those that remain unspoken, I am so grateful for this spiritual community. And today, my first Sunday back after time away, I am especially grateful. Being part of UUC has given so many of us ways to stay connected, to offer and accept support and care, to learn and be challenged by new ideas, to have fun, to be inspired. In just the last week, I've had the chance to meet with our hardworking staff, the Committee on Ministries, the worship team, the board, and the small group ministry coordinator. I'm excited about the plans we have for moving forward. And this week, I was especially grateful for my time with the children in story time, where we got to read stories together and I got to listen to their delightful commentary. And I was especially grateful too for our midweek gathering. This past Wednesday evening, we had a very small group, but we had the chance to listen to inspiring music and words and to share deeply. It was just what I needed. If you haven't found a way to connect other than Sunday morning, and you are yearning for more connection, look at the calendar on the website or contact me and we'll find you a place. Part of my time away was spent at the Virtual General Assembly. This is the annual gathering of Unitarian Universalists from all over the country and even the world It's when we do the business of the Association of Congregations, electing leaders, changing bylaws, and deciding how we want to show up in the world, especially in terms of social justice and witness. Many members of the UUC have attended in years past, especially a few years ago when Rev Dara, my predecessor, was recognized for achieving final fellowship as a minister. And it is my great hope that next year we'll be able to gather in person in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where, if all goes well, I will get to participate in the service of the living tradition as a fully fellowshipped minister. Just as I am especially grateful coming back to UUC, attending General Assembly, whether in person or online, reminds me each year of how grateful I am to be part of the larger liberal religious tradition. Sometimes it feels like we are living in a bubble here at UUC and in the New River Valley. Whatever we do as we try to live into our mission, it can sometimes feel like a struggle to transform our community, let alone the world, through courageous love. But General Assembly, attended by thousands of Unitarian Universalists, this year, because of the online format, there were over 5,000 in attendance. It reminds us that other folks in other places are on a similar journey. And it is good to know that we are not alone. The theme of this year's General Assembly was rooted, inspired, ready. Jamie and Wayne will share some of their reflections about how they were inspired by attending GA and ways they are ready to act out of that inspiration. And I want to consider how we might recognize and cultivate our roots in the UUA. This year, more than other years, I'm hopeful that we can begin to create connections, not only within our congregation, but between and among other congregations in Virginia and beyond. Just 2 weeks ago, I preached a sermon at the UUC in Glen Allen, outside Richmond, in the same way that their minister, Reverend Amy, and Williamsburg's minister, Reverend Laura, preached here in July. Now that we're not constrained by distance, the religious professionals are talking about collaborating on adult faith development opportunities. How cool would it be to get to know UUs from as near as Roanoke and as far as Virginia Beach and all the other places in between? And think about those UUs who live in towns where there isn't a UU congregation or fellowship. The possibilities are endless. And the next few years will also give us the opportunity to weigh in on some pretty big decisions for the Unitarian Universalist Association of Congregations. This year, the UUA board established an Article II study commission to consider possible amendments to the part of our bylaws, which most of us know as the 6 sources and 7 principles that are listed in the front of our gray hymnal. As the history of Article II explains, for some religious institutions, the equivalent of Article II would be regarded as a permanent statement of belief. Ours, however, is a living tradition. We commit ourselves to regularly revisiting our principles and purposes to ensure that we are relevant, that as we grow in understanding, our principles and purposes grow too. We'll be invited into that conversation as the commission does its work. And some of you may have heard of an effort to add an 8th principle, inviting us to affirm and promote journeying toward spiritual wholeness by working to build a diverse, multicultural, beloved community. The anti-racism group here at UUC has already been discussing this principle, and I'm excited about the opportunity to to join the larger denomination in these important discussions. Going to General Assembly helps me feel rooted in the larger movement. My hope for the year ahead is that we as a congregation will feel more rooted, more connected as well. Before we hear more about General Assembly, let's take a few moments to enter into a mood of meditation, to reflect on all that is our lives. So I invite you to do whatever it is that helps you feel rooted, feel grounded. Maybe take a deep breath. Soften your shoulders. And if you feel comfortable, close your eyes. I invite you now to call to mind the gifts of your life. Those moments of joy you've experienced this past week. Hold them in your mind with gratitude. Call to mind the opportunities you've had to give and to receive. Think of those acts of support and care that help us to survive. Hold those times in your mind with gratitude. Call to mind those challenges you've faced, the times of fear, of anxiety, or sorrow. Hold them in your mind with the knowledge that you need not carry these burdens alone. May this community be a source of strength, of ease, of courage, and love for all that is your life. And now I'll invite Jamie to share his reflection.
Attending General Assembly has been something I look forward to almost every year since I found UUism 30 years ago. Joining thousands of other UUs from around the country and the world has deepened my knowledge and experience of UUism through workshops, worship, and lectures. Some of you know that Rev Pam and I met at the General Assembly 11 years ago, so it's our anniversary. Earlier, we said our congregational covenant, including the core words of our mission statement, to inspire, create, and transform. We covenant to inspire spiritual and ethical growth, create compassionate community, and transform our community and the world through courageous love. Two highlights from my experience at General Assembly this year helped me live into that mission. Of the several virtual workshops I attended this year, my favorite was Getting Ready to Transform, Gratitude as a Spiritual Practice, presented by the Reverend Galen Gingrich, the senior minister for the past 27 years at All Souls in New York City, one of our flagship congregations. I'm a big fan of Reverend Gingrich, a very popular GA presenter and an innovative and inspirational speaker. He highlighted some key ideas from his new book, The Way of Gratitude, a new spirituality for today. Inspiring spiritual and ethical growth takes practice and helps us transform the ways we act in the world. Reverend Gingrich sees increasing signs that the pursuit of spiritual experience is becoming a deeper form of narcissism, a narrowing focus on my life, my feelings, my emotions. Contrary to this emphasis on me, 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 Reverend Gingrich believes that spirituality can open us to a deep awareness about life's most profound reality, that everything is made up of relationships. He says, as we begin to develop gratitude as a way of life, we find ourselves experiencing not only a deeper sense of our life's meaning and purpose, but also a more abiding sense of joy. The way of gratitude is an effort to develop a spiritual practice and a way of life that aligns our priorities and our patterns of life with the way things really are, and not the way we wish they were. Spiritual practice can help us recognize and appreciate more fully that we are made up of our relationships with ourselves, with each other, and with the natural world. He emphasized that spiritual practice is not a garnish that makes life more tasty, like a sprig of dill atop a salmon fillet, nor is it a temporary diversion that makes life more bearable, like a moment of quiet amid a cacophonous day. I was intrigued by three points about the way of gratitude. Because everything in the universe is made up of relationships, we should pay attention to the relationships that make us up. Spirituality is about openness. We tend to live our lives narrowly. Openness to our own minds and hearts, openness to other people, openness to the natural world. Openness to what is terrible and needs changing, and what is wonderful and needs savoring. And finally, gratitude is the ability to look at problems and see possibilities. I already have a daily spiritual practice, but incorporating his seven hallmarks of gratitude will make it richer and more meaningful. And I don't have time to go into those hallmarks, but you can take a look at his new book if you're interested. I especially like the prospect of having a stronger connection to those things that need to be changed in the world and to more fully savor the good things in my life. A favorite poem that I read for last week's service highlights the importance of openness. I think it's worth sharing again. The Guest House by Jalaluddin Rumi. This being human is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival. A joy, a depression, a meanness, some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. My second highlight was the annual Ware Lecture, which often features a well-known speaker. Previous notable speakers include Brian Stevenson, Krista Tippett, Van Jones, and Karen Armstrong. This year, our speaker was Naomi Klein, best-selling author of On Fire, The Burning Case for the Green New Deal. Now, I'll admit, I didn't know who Naomi Klein was, and I didn't know much about the Green New Deal, except for the sound bites that I heard during the primary debates and on the news. I'm pretty aware of environmental issues, but the Green New Deal seemed pretty far-fetched. As Klein put it, the Green New Deal was written off as too much money, too much ambition, too much speed, too much disruption. One of my takeaways from this lecture was a quote by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez: "We can be what we have the courage to see." I was surprised to learn that, according to Klein, the Green New Deal not only has strong support among most Democrats, but also among 69% of independents and 49% of Republicans. She pointed out that deep change is possible, pointing to our mobilization for World War II. After listening to this lecture, I can see the Green New Deal as a bold vision for transforming our world with courageous love. It doesn't seem as outlandish as I originally thought. It is a radical change, but minor tweaks aren't sufficient to address our climate crisis. I'll be interested to see if the Green New Deal becomes a significant plank in the platform at next week's Democratic National Convention. So this year's General Assembly has left me inspired and ready to more deeply engage those things that need to be changed in the world and to more fully savor the good things in my life.
Thanks, Jamie. And now, this is my, whenever we come back from General Assembly and talk with the congregation, I always love hearing from those people who have never been to GA before, because I can remember how excited I was the first time I went. And so now I'll invite Wayne New, our fearless president, to share his reflection. And through the miracle of technology, it's Wayne.
Thank you, Pam. I'd like to talk about two of my takeaways from my virtual attendance at GA. The first one is my introduction to and appreciation of a very important movement within the UUA of which I was completely unaware. For me, the first of many realizations of this movement was the welcoming celebration, which featured chanting, drumming, and dance in a ceremony performed by a group of Mashpee Wampanoag Indigenous people, members of a tribe that has lived on the south shore of Massachusetts for thousands of years. The presentation also featured poignant words from tribe members as it raised up their struggle to protect their sacred lands. As the days of GA went by, I came to realize that this, as well as the prominent presence of members of several groups of people that people like me are not used to hearing from, were part of a concerted effort that has arisen from the UUA Commission on Institutional Change, which I don't remember hearing about before. Well, this group was formed in 2017 with the charge to examine the systematic racism and white supremacy culture within the UUA. They recently finished their work and published a final report in June entitled Widening the Circle of Concern. If you're interested, an electronic version of this report is available on the UUA website, or you can get it directly from me. They examined the troubling issues facing Black people, Indigenous people, and people of color within the UUA administration, as well as in our congregations. This seems to have expanded to include those having various gender expressions and those living with disabilities as well. Among other things, their work has led to new hiring practices within the UUA with accountability about the number of employees representing these groups. During GA, I saw a significant representation of the voices of people from these groups. Through the presentations and workshops I attended, I had my eyes opened to a deeper understanding of our culture of white supremacy. Supremacy in this sense, meaning not that we actively seek to denigrate non-whites, but simply that our culture provides white people, and particularly white males, with an array of advantages and opportunities not easily afforded to others, which leads us to an overrepresentation of white cisgender males primarily in positions of power, and a significant underrepresentation of other voices. I saw during GA that quite a number of these voices have found their way into the UUA administration lately. This change is happening, perhaps slowly at the national level of the UUA, But as I saw in some of the workshops and chat rooms, it has a long way to go to fully reach the congregation level. The report documents many of the issues to be addressed, the impediments to change, and a number of recommendations to fully live more inclusive values within our faith community. I'm sure you'll be learning more about this effort in the future. A second strong memory I have was so powerful that I actually cried during a beautiful rendition of Come Sing a Song with Me. It's a hymn we've sung many times, and that came near the end of the service of the living tradition. That hymn may never be the same for me. What made it so powerful was that it came at the conclusion of a very powerful sermon by Reverend Danielle DeBona, whose mother was Wampanoag. Karen Hager's religious education credentialing was also recognized during this service, by the way. Reverend DeBona's sermon was titled Revival of Relations, Revolution of Values, which was recorded June 11th, a week after a video of a policeman kneeling on George Floyd's neck surfaced, but before the widespread demonstrations had begun. It reflected on who we profess to be as UUs versus what our actions actually are in these troubled times. She proposed that we value, quote, love beyond love, adopt a willingness to accept, value, respect, and accommodate all people as they are. She implored us to, quote, open our hearts, minds, and souls to each other and to the world. In other words, that we actually act on what we say we aspire to. I'd like to close with a recording of the last minute and a half of her sermon leading up to the production of Come Sing a Song with Me that moved me so much. That will serve as our closing hymn. Feel free to sing along. The words to the verses, if you need them, are Come Sing a Song with Me, Come Dream a Dream with Me, Come Walk in Rain with Me, Come Share a Rose with Me.
This all brings us to the question, who do we want to be in the world? We can be the insular church on a hill, white suburban church of old. That's easy. Or we can revolutionize the church into something so amazing that right now we cannot imagine it. I was at a powwow once and all the people were dancing. One elder was dancing in the opposite direction of all the others. When asked why, he said that the world was in such despair that it was off its axis. And by dancing in the opposite direction, he was trying to tilt it back. There is a lot of tilting needed. So let's dance counterclockwise. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. All of you together possess the amazing ability to share in bringing the world back to sanity, back to its axis. You are called by our ancestors, by those in whose arms we rest, by those who paved the way for our bright and beautiful liberal faith. You are called to turn away from pettiness, despair, fear, arrogance, and turn toward love, faith, bravery, generosity, and humility to make this world our precious world and all the people on it, our precious people, whole again. So just go do it.
Come sing a song with me, come sing a song with me, come sing a song with me, that I might know your mind, and I'll bring you home. to find, and I'll bring a song of love and a rose in the winter time.
Come dream a dream with me.
And now it's time to extinguish our chalices. And to know, then when hope is hard to find, we are not alone. If you have found inspiration, if you have felt rooted, inspired, and ready through this service, take it out with you in the week ahead. Maybe dance counterclockwise to help tilt the axis of the world back. Let's go out and do it.